Yesterday, we had the Walk for Jesus, and it was a great success. Lots of people showed up, and I'd just like to give us a quick video of praise the Lord. Amen. There were lots of people gathered together to just testify of the goodness of God and reclaiming our turf. Amen. This city belongs to the Lord. Praise God. We marched from the Human Rights Building down Tashe and then down Marion and down to Main Street and all the way back to where the Winnipeg sign was. This is an example of how we can work together, take the vision of God that is placed in our hearts, and do it. This walk was not organized by me or by Mama. A son in this house, Todd, came to me about 8 months ago and said, like to do a walk for Jesus. I said, yeah? How is it going to go? What were you thinking? And he shared his vision with me. I said, go in the strength of the Lord. Go do it. And he did. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know how unconventional it was? I expected that he will go and he was going to get permits from the city, permits from the police department, permits from all over the place. But the word of faith connecting with a vision, he did it. And there were no permits. No permits. Nothing. And the cops called and okayed without asking, where's your permit? The security guards at the Forks, or the security system there at the Forks, they called but didn't ask, where's your permit? How much are you going to pay us? None of that. Because you can do things without money when faith is backing it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We limit ourselves, but God has no limits on you. Do you receive that? So I challenge you today. What vision has God placed in your heart? I don't know if you remember this message, but it was way back in the days of R.F. Morrison, what would you do that you're not doing now if you knew you couldn't fail? I will never forget that message. Huh? You remembered? Of course. Yeah, you're the only two that remember because you were there. That's in the 80s. That tells you how deep the Word of God can go inside of your spirit. Do you know, I've met people that I ministered to way back in 76, 77, 78, that still remember the message I preached? Way back then. If I saw them today, they'll say, you remember when you preached that? Because the Word of God goes deep. Hallelujah. It's inside of you. You will never forget anything that is preached in here. It's inside you. Because it was not fluff. Amen? It was real stuff. It's inside you. And every time you need it, you're going to pull it out. Amen. Glory be to God. And it will just be as sharp when you pull it out as when you first heard it. Because ultimately, God wants to make you and I one with His Word. Together. So now, we're going to get into the message in just a moment. Mama is not here today because she's preaching somewhere else this morning. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And I know God is going to use her mightily where she is. Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay. Today, what we're going to be talking about is going to be a smorgasbord of stuff. I'm going to be going all over the place, but not out of point. And don't think when I start talking about something that you know exactly what I'm going to be talking about. You know, because sometimes people make assumptions. And your assumptions may cause you not to hear. I remember just about a week ago, something dawned on me, an experience. I know it's happened many times before, but this time God caused me to pay attention. I was coming out from where, early in the morning, where Mama and I exercise at. And I'm coming out. And I started thinking about something. My mind was focused on something. I'm thinking about it. I'm just focused on that thing in my mind, thinking. And there was somebody that was coming towards me that I know. And I did not see them. They were not like 20 feet away. They were right by me, walking towards me. And I'm going in that direction, they're coming in this direction. And would you know, I didn't see them. I didn't see them because my mind was on something else. Until they said, "Hi, Pastor." And then I, "Oh, hi." And said, "Wait a minute. This guy was just walking by me. I didn't see him. What happened here?" And the Lord says to me, says, "You can have your eyes wide open and be blind based on what you are focused on." So good can be around you and you not see it because you focus on bad. And Bad can be around you and you don't see it because you're focused on good. And the question I ask us today is this: what are you focused on in life? What are you seeing? Because what you see is affecting you. Let me say that again. What you're looking at is affecting you. And so the word of the Lord to us is looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. When you don't have faith, where should you be looking? Yeah. When you don't have faith, look at Jesus. And he will begin and end. When you don't know what to do, you look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Watch this. Who for the joy that was what? Set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. And because of that, is now set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The difference? He set his face on the joy that was set before him. When you feel discouraged, look to that Jesus who looked right through to the price of you and me. For you and I are the joy of the Lord. Hallelujah. When you and I get saved, when somebody gets saved, there's rejoicing in heaven. Praise God. And the joy of the Lord is what? My strength. So I tell you something. When things are hard for you and the enemy wants you to be depressed, get heaven happy. Go talk to somebody. Lead somebody to the Lord. Oh, no, you're not listening. Go get a soul. Heaven will rejoice, and the rejoicing of heaven will rejoice you. Did you hear that? You sure you heard that? There are principles of life and living, keys of the kingdom of God that cause us, everything is not prayer. Things in the kingdom, keys that you use, and doors will be opened and things will happen. For he that winneth souls is what? Wise. You need wisdom? Yes, you can ask. James says that. And God will give to you liberally. But if you need wisdom, there's another way. Go win a soul. Go talk to somebody about the goodness of God and what God can do in their lives. But child of God, you have problems. What are you? Jesus was on the cross and the thief said, save yourself. But he did not know what was on the flip side of what Jesus was doing. Somebody listening. There's been something that's been on my mind for been about 2-3 weeks now. I can't seem to shake it. I keep on hearing the word tapestry. Tapestry, tapestry. So I consider what tapestries are. Not the machine-made ones from China, but real tapestry, original tapestry. When you look at it, it has two sides to it. On one side, it is a total mess, just gobbledygook, all kinds of threads, just all over the place. But if you flip it, you get that. It's the same thing, that and this. That's the same thing. On one side, it's all totally a mess. On the other side, it's beautiful. That is life. And you and I need to look at the flip side of it. If you were looking at the cross, you see a Messiah that is dying. And if you considered his dying and death, all you see is the end. He lost. Those Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes and the Roman soldiers, they won. He's dead. He's finished. But the flip side of it is that in his dying, he was substituting your death unto himself and his life unto you. Are we together? Is Bram Moses over there in the back there? Come here. He's on the other side. Just get him for me for a moment. Or, you know, actually, Bri Bokung can help me here. I need an IT guy. Just come. Tell them to leave Bram Moses alone. Bri Bokung, we substitute for him. Hallelujah. Have you built a website before? Yes. You have? Okay. When you're building a website, you have to publish it at some point.
Yes.
Before you publish it, you're doing a lot of work.
Yes, a lot of design in the background.
In the background.
Yes.
On the back end of it.
Yes, back end, yeah.
But you don't see it until you publish it.
Yeah, the world will not see it until we publish it.
Okay. But because the world hasn't seen it does not mean that the work is not done.
Yes.
Interesting. So you want to show Glory and Peace Church website, and the pastor comes and says, "Where's the website? You said you're doing the website." I say, "It's happening. It's done."
Yes.
But I don't see it.
Yeah, you can't see it until it is hosted or it's made available.
Worldwide. It has to be hosted.
It has to be hosted.
It has to be hosted. I like that word. It has to be hosted. So somebody's hosting it.
Yes.
And you're going to publish it through that hoster?
Yes.
Interesting. I don't know if you're getting the point. The point is, a lot of things are happening on the backside that you don't know anything about. And you're busy complaining and frustrated because you don't see it. But it's done already. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. Appreciate it. So I'm asking you a question this morning. You ask God for something. I need a website. And it's done. But I don't see it. The Word of God says that blessed are those who publish the Word. Do you understand that most times the reason you have not received the manifestation, the publication of whatever it is that you are wanting is because you've not engaged the host in doing the publishing by the winning of souls, by the investment on souls? For he that winneth souls is wise. He that is publishing the word of God is the blessed. Sometimes it's not that God has not done. It's that you have not done what will cause what God has done to be manifested. Don't let the enemy distract you. What is it that you're looking for? What's the back end of it? The back end of it is your assurance in knowing that God will do what He said He will do. And the publication is you focus on doing what you should do. And ultimately, you shall see and have what you say. You will have what you say. Every blessing is in the speaking of the word. Every blessing. Somebody's saying something. What are you saying? Are you part of your delay? Or do you have the wisdom of God to speedify? It's a valid question. Today I want you to reflect. Because like I said, it's a smorgasbord of stuff. Different things being said. But everything that is being said for a reason. To trigger something inside of you that will make you greater than you are this very moment. Amen? Make me greater than I am this very moment. God has a plan and a purpose for you and for me. If all you're looking at is the backside of the tapestry, all you see is ugliness. All you see is a big mess. All you see is something that is just useless, worthy to be thrown in the garbage. Flip it. Flip it. Flip it. And you're going to see something different. And God is calling you and I to look at things differently. Come with me to the book of Genesis for a moment. Genesis, the 27th chapter. The 27th chapter of Genesis. I'm going to just read for a while here. And then I'm going to start commenting. It says, and it came to pass that when Isaac was old, I want you to notice that statement. Isaac was old and his eyes were what? Dim. Meaning that he could not see clearly. He was going blind. so that he could not see, he called Esau his eldest son and said unto him, My son. And he said unto him, Behold, here I am. And he said, Behold, now I am old. I know not the day of my death. I don't know the day I'm going to die. Now, therefore, take I pray thee, thy weapons. Take your weapons, your quiver, your bow, and go out to the field and take me some venison. And make me savory meat such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob, her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau, thy brother, saying, Bring me venison and make me savory meat that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord before my death. I'm going to bless you before the Lord before my death. Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock and fetch me from thence 2 good kids of the goats. And I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat, that he may bless thee before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, Behold, Esau my brother is a hairy man, and I'm a smooth man. My father peradventure will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver. Okay. And I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. And he's right. If you're a deceiver, you don't get blessed. That's the way it's supposed to work. And his mother said unto him, Upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my what? My voice. And go fetch me them. This passage is so loaded with so many messages, that's why I don't want to make any comment. Because it's all over the place. This is life right here. His mother said unto him, Upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice. Those are key words. And go fetch me them. And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory meat such as his father loved. Let me stop here for a moment. Why is this happening? Why exactly is this happening? Well, God already said the elder son, because when she was pregnant with a baby, there was a lot of turbulence in her tummy. And so she went and saw the face of God to find out what God will say about what was happening. And the word of the Lord to her is, you have 2 nations inside of you. You're going to have twins. It says, however, the older one is going to serve the younger one. Interesting. So she continues, and she gives birth. And as they are growing up, this is the backside, Esau is busy messing around with the people that his parents tell him, those are not the people to be hanging around. Don't hang around those people. That's trouble. He doesn't listen. And he actually marries them. Genesis chapter 25. I'm going to come back to Genesis 27. Let me look at verse 23 for a moment. It says, and the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red, all over like an hairy garment. And they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's feet. This is a very interesting statement here. Took hold of Esau's feet, heel, and his name was called Jacob, or supplanter. And Isaac was 80 years old. 80 years old when she bore them. Isaac was 60 years old when these children were born. Are you with me so far? But the Bible tells us in verse 40 something. It tells us that Jacob actually got married when he was 40. So for 20 years, they had no children. And when they finally had children, they are twins. Now, one of these twins is, verse 20, and Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Paddan Aram, the sister to Laban, the Syrian. This is where Jacob is going to go end up later on. Now, why am I bringing you here? The happenings in the life of Esau did not just happen. First of all, this is the back end of the story. He goes hunting. He comes back from hunting. And the Bible says that he is faint, he's weary, he's tired. And he smells Jacob cooking. Jacob is cooking good porridge. I don't know how savory that porridge might be, but when you're hungry, everything looks good and tastes good. And he comes to Jacob and says, may I have some of that food? And Jacob says, no. It's not that easy. No. Come on, give me some to eat. Remember, Jacob is a weak man. He's not strong. Esau, his brother, is a strong man. He can say, give me that. No. Jacob says to him, if you want some, you got to sell me your birthright. Sell me your birthright. Then I'll give it to you. Just like people sell their birthrights. You say, oh, Esau did it, not me. No, you do it when you compromise your life and make decisions that will not glorify God. Heaven can wait. The Lord can wait. I make this decision. I decide to do this so I can get a temporary satisfaction. Are we together so far? Think for a moment. What decisions have you made in your life that are like Esau's? You didn't think about the things of the kingdom first. That's not your priority. My priority right now is I want these nice high heel shoes. That's my priority. And instead of doing that which will please God, you choose the high heel shoes. Instead of investing in a soul, you choose the high heel shoes. Oh, no, I won't do it for high heel shoes. I will do it for a car. So you go for the car, but you forget about the things of God, and you think there are no consequences. God says, I hate Esau. In Hebrews 11. So, Esau I hate. He is a fornicator. What? All the guy got was some porridge. What do you mean he's a fornicator? He's a fornicator because he is investing in that which is not true, that which is not real, that which is not of God, and he is just wanting to satisfy his natural dealings. How many times do we do that? That's the back end of the story. Because the front end of that back end is that this man is going to lose the blessing. He's going to lose it. It didn't just happen. It happened because he did not place importance on that which is of God for him. He didn't think his birthright was important enough. Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. Today, sell me your birthright. Sell it to me. And I'm going to pay for your birthright by you having this porridge. He wouldn't do that. Birthright? The birthright of Esau is the blessing. He wouldn't do that. No, he won't. No, when you jump in the sack with some woman, not recognizing the fact that you have been chosen of God to live holy before him, you're selling your birthright. You're selling your birthright. Thinking drugs are going to solve my problem. I want to escape. I want to escape. God's word says he will, when you stay under the covering of his pinions, he will cause you to escape. By strengthening you. The joy of the Lord is my strength. How can I cause God to strengthen me? I started out by telling you, you go win souls. You go win souls. Go bring to God what is most important to him. Win souls. Go do that. Hallelujah. Go do that. But if you're doing that, be certain that you have not created problems for yourself by selling your birthright just for temporary gain, temporary satisfaction. I want to hide from my problem just a little bit, and you pop drugs, you drink drugs, or you poop drugs, or you drink booze, have an elbow problem. You think that's going to solve your problem? No, you're creating problems. You're creating problems. And today we are going to believe God to destroy and demolish all of that mess that we've created for ourselves. Amen? Hallelujah? You say, Pastor, but all of that is under the blood. It's forgiven, all of that. But remember, until you call it into place, believing, it's not yours. There are things that we are experiencing that are based on things that have happened in our past. What else is he doing? The guy is hanging around the women that his father said he should not be hanging around. And because of it, his whole life is going to be turned upside down. A lack of foresight. Just like his father, who is old and his eyes are dim. We're not seeing the future. You cannot be a good chess player if you are not reading down the line. I remember playing African checkers with my uncle many years ago, young man. I'm boasting, I'm going to win. And he moves his chips, and I gobble that chip, and he moves another one, and I gobble that one up, and he moves another one, and I gobble that one up, and I'm laughing and thinking, oh my, this guy doesn't know how to play this game. And all of a sudden, he goes, tick, 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 tick. He's at my home. I have to crown him. And when he's got crowned, he could move all over that board. He didn't need to go just one step anymore. He could go all the way one shot. My goose was cooked because I had no foresight. I had no foresight. I should have left his chip alone and did other things. Until I move myself out of danger, and now he won't have a way to get all the way home. How did he figure that out? He was looking down the line. So, Pastor, what are you saying to me? I'm saying, don't be rash with the decisions you make in life, especially when you feel pressed. Don't. What did I say? Don't. Because whatever decision you make now is going to reflect later on when it is published. What decisions have you made? What decisions are you making? And if it were published, what will the result be? I must ask myself that question. You must ask yourself that question. This decision that I'm about to make, is it going to cause my marriage to fall apart? Think. This thing that I'm about to say, is it going to hurt my family down the line? Do you know that most of us are fighting against our own words? The devil had nothing to do with it. You prophesied your own damnation. And now you're praying and fasting and casting out devils. Guess what? The devil, what devil you're casting out? You're casting yourself out. Because you're the one who created it. You created it with your own mouth. This child, your life is going to amount to nothing, and then you're praying what? You said it. The life is not going to amount to anything. Now you're praying, Pastor, I don't know what is wrong with my child. His life is amounting to nothing. Will you please pray fast? Give me a word from the Lord. I have no other words. What did you say? What did you say? What did you give permission to? Yeah. It's Esau. His father has given him instruction. He goes in obedience to do it. But there is Becca. Rebecca said, I heard something. Why is Rebecca against Esau? Because Esau is fooling around with women that are going to create problems for her. In fact, is it chapter 25 or 26? One of those chapters, the last two verses, tells us, where is it? Give me, chapter 26. It says, Esau was 40 years old when he took to wife Judith, the daughter of Beeri, the Hittite, and Beshemath, two women, the daughter of Elon, the Hittite, which were what? A grief of mind. A grief of mind unto Isaac and unto Rebekah. And in fact, it should have added. Esau to her. He has all these women, and nobody cooked for him. They might have been feminists or something. I am not going to cook anything for you, man. You take care of yourself. But there is grief of mind unto Isaac and Rebekah. So you have your mama saying, if the blessing is on that one, we're going to have problems. But she also remembered the word that the senior one was going to save the younger one. But the problem is not them. The problem goes all the way back to Abraham. You see, where did Abraham come with this? Oh, God said that he was going to bless the seed of Sarah. Sarah is going to have a child. Sarah is going to have a child. 25 years later, it's going to happen. But before that, Sarah comes to Abraham and says, hi, Abe. And Abe says, hi, sweetie. Hi, baby. And she says to him, you know this thing that we are wanting to have? What thing are we trying to have? The baby thing. Okay, yeah, what about it? You see this woman, this my mistress, my maiden here, Hagar? Yeah, what about her? Why don't you go sleep with her and she will have the baby and we'll adopt that baby as our own? And the Bible never says anywhere that Abraham fought the idea. God said, you're going to have a baby. Listen to this. And Sarah said unto Abraham, behold, now the Lord hath what? Restrained me from bearing. Now it's God's fault. I pray thee, go into my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her, not by the Lord. Because the Lord is against me. God is holding back from me. And Abraham hearkened to the voice of Sarah by saying, no, we're not going to do that. You're my one and only. Abraham says, hallelujah. And did not know, this back end is going to produce an ugly front end. So now, she has the first child called Ishmael. And the firstborn is supposed to be the one that carries the blessing. From that point on, the secondborn, because the secondborn now is going to be who? Come on, are you sleeping? Isaac. The second one, instead of the firstborn having the blessing, the secondborn gets the blessing. Are we together so far? That's where the problem started. Decisions. Now, this is going to continue on. Joseph switches his hands and puts the right hand of blessing on the second born. While he was blind. Are we together? It goes on and continues on. Because in Genesis chapter 38, the story is told of a switcheroo that happens again. A child is being born and they put the red thread on his wrist. This is the firstborn. And all of a sudden, he goes back. And the secondborn jumps ahead of the one that should have been firstborn because of Abraham. The second child is getting blessed. You know, I've looked at, even till this very moment, I look at children that are born. Most times the second born is bigger than the first born. Are we talking? there are twins from a particular lady that we know. And I had gone to her store and I saw two boys. One is taller than the other one by maybe about 6 inches. I said, I thought she had twins. I asked, are you the children of so-and-so? Yeah. Who is the older one? The shorter one. They were twins. The same thing is still happening. Until you and I stop it, that's the way it is. It started by a decision that was made at a particular time by somebody not thinking about the consequences of their actions. So till this day, we have a battle going on in Israel. Ishmael and Isaac. Decisions. What decisions are you making? Are you discerning then this decision that I'm about to make, what will the impact be? Let me not just talk about the bad. The Bible says Levi gave tithe in Abraham. Abraham is the one giving tithe. Abraham gets Isaac. Isaac gets Jacob. Jacob has Levi. It's four generations. Or if you want to count it the other way, three generations. But here Abraham is given tithe, and the Bible says Levi was given tithe in Abraham. The decisions that Abraham made is impacting four generations down the line. What you and I do on the back end affects what is going to be broadcasted at the front end. Are we together so far? Uzziah is doing everything right, and then pride comes into his life, and he goes into the temple and does what he's not sanctioned to do, burning incense, and the priest come and say, leave, this is not for you to do. And he is upset with them, and he's stricken with leprosy, and he goes into a several house, the Bible says. His children, first one does not go into the temple. Second one shuts the door completely. Are we together? Until nothing is happening. Now the priest, everybody's affected. And so the Bible ends up and says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. But Uzziah is long dead. But the spirit of Uzziah and what Uzziah did is affecting generations that are coming. Do you understand why we need to have some crop failure today? Cry out to God for mercy. God, whatever it is that I've done that is messing up my present, my future, my children's future, God, I cry out for mercy. Forgive, deliver, set free. So yes, Jacob his son Jacob comes to Isaac, and he's talking to Isaac, and Isaac says, is that you, Esau? And Jacob says, yeah, I'm Esau. He says, that's interesting. You say you are Esau, but I hear the voice of Jacob. He says, come here, let me feel you. But Jacob had already said to his mother, my papa is going to curse me because he thinks I'm going to be deceiving him. And I'm smooth. My brother is hairy. Mother says, don't worry about it. Bring me the kids. So kills the kids, cooks it, tastes this stuff. Oh, yeah, this is good. He's going to like this. Yeah, what about the other part? Give me the hair from the kids. And he ties that on his arms and wraps it around his neck. And when he comes to the father, Francis, come. He comes to the Father. He says, "Here am I." And he says to him again, "Who art thou, my son? Who are you?" When you are in doubt, don't release the blessing. "It's me, Papa. It's me. I'm Esau, thy firstborn. I've done according as thou hast bidden me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat thy venison, that thy soul may bless me." Okay? And Isaac said to his son, "How is it that thou hast found it so quickly? You got so speedified." And he said, "Because the Lord thy God brought it to me." The Lord thy God brought it to me. All eyes, deception. And Isaac said unto Jacob, "Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee." He's still doubting. He's doubting. The problem was he couldn't see. Now he's going to go by other senses, especially the sense of feeling. He's going to make a decision based on how he feels. How many decisions are you making based on how you feel? What you feel? What you feel? "That I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my," watch this word, "very son, Esau, or not." And it comes boldly. See. He does not come trembling and afraid. He comes boldly to his father, even though he was living the lie. The way people act does not determine the truth. Did you hear that? Confidence does not determine the truth. The truth determines what is true. And he comes, and of course the father checks his arms, feels him, and he says, "The voice is Jacob's voice. The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. I hear Jacob, but I feel Esau." That's when you don't release the blessing. Doubt. But this is the danger of it all, that because he doubted or was doubting, did not stop the blessing from being released. He's going to speak a blessing, and the blessing is going to say, he says, "And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands." So he what? Blessed him. He blessed him based on what? What he was feeling. Not what he was seeing. He blessed the lie. But God knew it. God knew it. And God causes all things to work together for good. Amen? Esau is going to have nations. Jacob, that is going to become Israel, is going to have nations. Jacob is going to end up with how many children? 12. He's going to end up with 12 children in the house of Laban. And that happened because Jacob was deceived and ends up with two women, Rachel and Leah. Are we together? Through Leah and her maid, she has all these children. And finally, Rachel has her children with her maid and herself. In fact, the last child that she had, Benjamin, she had when she was dying from childbirth. Are we together so far? She had struggle happening inside of her. Now, time does not permit me to go into more details on what happened with Benjamin and how the Benjamin situation happened. But let me say this, that the reason she died, the reason Rachel died, was because of Jacob. You say, how? Because whatever it is that you do on the backside is going to be published on the front end. Rachel had taken the father's gods, Laban's gods. What is she doing with Laban's gods? When if she believed the God of Jacob, because she somewhere in her mind thought that all these blessings that Jacob was bringing into the family may some way, somehow have some connection with the father's gods. Maybe if it is not totally Jehovah, maybe it's my father's God. So when she's leaving, she takes the gods with her. And Laban comes chasing and says to Jacob, Jacob, how dare you take my gods? And Jacob says, I didn't do any such thing. In fact, if you find it with anybody here, let that person die. He did not know that the wife, the beloved wife that she had, that he had rather, had stolen the gods. And when Laban comes looking, she sits down on the gods and says, I'm going through my menstrual period. And Laban says, I'm not coming close. But Jacob had already pronounced the death of the person. Are we together? So now that she is giving birth, to Benjamin, she calls him Benoni, son of my sorrows. But Jacob this time was fast. He says, no, that's not going to be his name. His name is going to be Benjamin, son of my right hand. Changes it. And today, what we're going to do here is change things. Hallelujah. We're going to change things. Because I'm convinced there is so much that is at play She's just given birth to one child. The Bible says in Genesis 35:18, she called his name Ben-Oni, son of sorrow, son of distress. His father called him Benjamin. That's your name, Benjamin. Son of my right hand. That's who you are. She died. But the amazing thing, she dies in a place that God is going to use. Because he's the God of the turnaround. Amen? She was buried in the way of Ephrath, which is Bethlehem, the house of bread. This is where David is going to be born. This is where Jesus, our Lord, is going to be born. Are we together? So, Pastor, what are you getting across to us today? I'm saying decisions are important. Decisions are very important. The decisions you make are important. Therefore, the decisions that you and I make must be made in faith, connecting with the Most High God. For he is the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen? Don't be rash and don't rush into making decisions because you think, I got to do it now, I got to do it now, I got to do it now. If I don't do it now, oh, everything is going to go bad. I got to do it now. No, don't do that. That is not what God is calling you to do. Don't do that. They came to Jesus and said, the person, Lazarus, whom you love, is dying. Come back, quick man. Jesus settles himself. In fact, the Bible says in John 11, it says Jesus loved Lazarus and stayed. He didn't move until the man was dead. He was looking for the timing of the Lord. Because he knew the miracle happens in God's time. If you get anything before time, it will destroy you. Let me say that again. If you get anything before its time, it will destroy you. So the best prayer you and I can pray is, God, give me what I need today for your divine purpose. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Now, why is this all important? I'm going to revisit this again. Jacob receives the blessings of his father. He goes out, and here comes Esau. And he comes and says, Papa, I'm back. And Isaac says, who are you? Who is it that I just blessed? You see, your brother came, did everything that I said for you to do, and I blessed him. You did what? I blessed him. And he says, is there any blessing left? Is there any blessing left? So I gave everything to him already. Now you're going to have to serve him. Oh. And he cries. 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 But crying is not going to change the problem. The blessing had been released. And the mother is dropping mama. Here's again. Oh, your brother is going to kill you when your papa dies. Go pack your stuff, take off. And he takes off. And he goes to the house of Laban. But this is the mercy of God. While he's heading towards there, God shows up to him in a dream. He puts his head on a stone, trying to sleep. And his eyes are open, and he sees angels ascending and descending. Angels ascending and descending. And he says, God is here, and I did not know it. Oh, wait a minute. Where is this place? The place where his father, Abraham, had built an altar unto God. It didn't seem like the altar was still there. It was all scattered, but there was a stone from that altar that was still there. And that's where he was resting his head. And he is caught up into this portal of this vision of God. Surely the Lord is in this place. And I knew it not. And God is going to speak to him and tell him about how blessed he is. And he makes a promise to God and says to God, if you bring me back to this place, I am going to give you a big fat offering. And so he ended up in Laban's house, and he was there for years. And when it was time, God was ready to collect. Because when you make God a promise, guess what? He's going to come collect. I remember my sister, she's very well to do now. She'd made a commitment to the Lord, like 25 cents kind of a thing, like a quarter, when she was young. And she did not honor that commitment, that vow. God was quiet. For years, God was quiet. And one day God says, I want my money now. He says, what money? The Lord says, I think it was $250,000. $250,000. I promise you $250,000. Yeah, you remember when you said 25 cents? He said, yes. Well, it's now $250,000. Oh, she says to herself, before it becomes millions, I'm going to surrender it. Do you know you've made vows and commitments? Sometimes you're casual about it. When I this, I'm going to do this. Some of us are losing out because we've not honored the commitment. The backside. Look at the backside. That's where it's important. The backside. It might look all rough and everything, but that's what is going to be published on the front. Look at the backside. The decisions you're making. How many people have you heard about today that have gone down the drain because of something they did when they were little kids? Little kids. They did such and such. And you thought, oh, I was just a little kid. I was just foolish. And now you're a big shot. And somebody comes and says, well, you remember? Remember what? You remember what you did so at such and such and such a time? Now that you are here in this high level of life, you're going to have to pay up because I'm going to publish it. I'm going to tell the world that you're a fake. But when you were doing it, you didn't think that that decision is going to come and bite me. A great man I remember doing Bible study here, and I said, this kind of a thing is about to happen again. And within the week, a great giant in faith, well-known man of God, what he did in his younger days when he was not known, now came to haunt him, and he's out of the ministry today. He's not still doing that, but now his name has been soiled and it's messed up. Decisions. Don't play with fire if you don't want to get burnt. Fooling around with Ouija boards, and you didn't know that that spirit has become a familiar spirit in your life. And every time you're trying to get somewhere, voices are in there, and your life is messed up today because of decisions. Decisions. Consequences. I was in Kinshasa, Congo. The Lord began to speak to me about consequences. I came home and I preached a message on that, just consequences. He says, people have to be mindful of the consequences to their actions. And as we were heading towards the airport, I saw people run across this wide road. It's a freeway. They're running across. They jump over this barrier in the boulevard and then run across to the other side. And as we're heading high speed, the Lord says, that one can trip and fall, and this car not be able to stop, and that person gets run over. They don't think consequences. Oh, it's 50 feet, 50 yards away from here. I have enough time to run across. No, don't think like that. Think differently. He said, when you get home, I want you to preach about consequences. I said, yes, sir, I will. We got on the plane. The last leg. I don't remember what city we're flying from, but we're flying to Toronto, and from Toronto I was take another flight to Winnipeg. Here comes this couple. Our flight was delayed, and we had to switch into a different plane. We're flying Air Canada, but now we ended up flying with Rouge, which is still an Air Canada flight, but another class. So 6 hours or so later, we get into the plane. I'm in the business class segment, and everybody's filing in. And in front of me, this couple and another guy sitting, and to the other side is another guy. And this guy says to this woman who is in front of me and the boyfriend or husband, I hope you're not going to be talking all the way through this flight. Uh-oh, what's going on here? That woman had been chatting for 5+ hours in the lounge. And now he says this to her, and the husband or boyfriend is upset. Who are you talking to? And they start going at each other. And I said to them, guys, calm down. There are consequences to your actions. That's what I said. There are consequences to your actions. They didn't mind me. They kept going at each other. The hostesses come and try to intervene. No such thing. The pilot comes out trying to calm them down. No such thing. Finally, quieting down a little bit. And the guy, first of all, the girl, the lady, says, my dad is a police commissioner or something in Toronto. When we get to Toronto, I'm going to have him arrest you. I say, okay, big deal. But what turns it all up is the guy says to him, you wait. When we get up in the air, I'm going to beat you. And about a minute or so later, see, because they're hearing everything. Have you ever seen those, you know, in the plane, when something happens in the plane, all of a sudden there's all these videos that you see of what's happening in the plane, people fighting in the plane? Well, that didn't come from somebody's mobile phone. It came from that plane that you're flying, because that plane has cameras that you don't see. The camera picked up the whisper of the man, and here comes the cops and security, and they grab him and they say to me, who started the problem? I said, oh, you guys are trying to put me in trouble. I said, really, you know, it shouldn't have been an issue, but this guy really actually started it, but this guy's, you know, blew it up. It's fine, they settled now. I said, no, they're not settled. They grabbed the man and the girl out, and grabbed the guy who started it out, and guess what? They're in the no-fly consequences. You are not flying. And here we are, way out there. How are they going to get home? I guess they're going to try to find an Uber. Consequences, the back end. How did you get on the no-fly zone? The back end was, I threatened somebody, I was going to beat them up. Back end is, I was busy yapping because I allowed myself to get drunk. It's free drinks. Yeah, but free drinks does not mean you should get drunk. Consequences. Bow your heads with me. Is there someone here today, while all heads are bowed, say, Pastor, this message was for me, and I don't want wrong consequences. So I'm pleading with God today to forgive and deliver me from this evil. If that's you, just raise your hand. I'll gladly pray with you. I see those hands. You can put it down. When you raise your hand and I acknowledge you, you just put it down. Anyone else? Okay. Now rise with me. And say with me these words, Most High God, You are a gracious and merciful God. And I cry out to you now to forgive me for everything that I have done that's not glorifying to you. The decisions I've made that can handicap my life and the life of my legacy, my children, my children's children. The decisions that we've made that will disrupt your goodness in our lives. Most High God, be merciful. Be merciful. Be merciful. Be merciful. I cry out for mercy. Most High God, I cry out for mercy. I cry out to you for mercy. Forgive me for everything I've done that's handicapping my life, that's delaying things in my life. And help me now, oh God, to begin afresh, following through, making the right decisions that will cause my life to flourish, blossom, and prosper. I trust you to help me, mighty God. Help me now. Help me now. Help me now. Help me now, my Father. Help me now. In Jesus' mighty name, I ask it. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you that you are the God who forgives. You're God who redeems, sanctifies, and delivers. You are our Savior. You are all things to us. It is true. We've made decisions various times in our lives that have not honored you. Decisions, wrong decisions in purchases, wrong decisions in relationships, wrong decisions. But Lord, oh God, we know that you are a merciful God. And we thank you, Lord, that your mercy is turning things around. There will not be 12 nations, 12 tribes of Israel if it weren't for all that happened in Laban's house. But you turned something that was bad around. You even made it possible for a Levi to pay tithes in Abraham. Because God, you saw everything. You're the God who sees all things. And we cry out to God for your mercy. In the mighty name of Jesus, let the good things in our lives now produce life. Let the bad things in our life, oh God, be stripped of their power to produce evil in our future. Father, we trust you this day. Thank you for mercy. We receive it. We have it. For we, the redeemed, say so. We say, I am redeemed. We, the delivered one, say so. I am delivered. We, the healed, say so. I am healed. We, the ones set free, say so. I am set free. We thank you, Lord, that all the qualities that bring about the right results, that by your grace and by the guidance of your Spirit, Lord, you are leading us, O God, to do the things that we ought to do to bring about the publishing of your good things in our lives. Let that which you have programmed in the back end now be published for your glorious name to be exalted in us and through us. Thank you, Father, that the publication of our lives are good things, glorious things, manifesting your awesomeness. Thank you, Father, that it is so. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I thank God for every one of us today. May the word of the Lord be manifested in our lives. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. At this time, let us honor God with our giving. Your giving is important to God. He says when you honor Him in your giving, that He will open up the windows of heaven and He will pour out the blessing. He will pour out His blessing upon us. And it is that blessing when we follow through in the wisdom of God who empowers us to succeed that will bring it about for us to have glorious results. Amen? Praise the Lord. Come, honor God with your giving. Does anyone not have a communion element? If you don't have a communion element, just raise your hand and the ushers will make certain that you are served. Praise God. Arise with me. Say with me, Father, I thank you for the words of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who said that as often as I take this communion, I shall do it in remembrance of Him. I remember Jesus, my Lord and my Savior. As part of your body, I unite myself in agreement with my fellow brothers and sisters who are also part of your body to manifest all that you are. As your body, I bring to place and present my service, for in my service, I manifest you. So, Lord, as I take of this body and eat, in conjunction with my fellow saints, let your glory be revealed. Let your awesomeness be revealed. We remember you. Thank you for the grace granted us to participate and partake in the eating of the body. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now take off the cup and say with me, Father, I thank you for the precious blood of Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Redeemer, the blood that cleanses me from all sin and all unrighteousness. I have received your word today. Let this blood cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Cleanse me from everything that dishonors your life in me. Thank you, Father, that I this day make the right decisions as I take of this precious blood. I am healed, delivered, set free, and empowered. For just like blood causes the body to be empowered, so, Lord, that I receive the empowering from the precious blood of Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Savior. Amen. Now drink. Make a funnel unto the Lord and say with me, I receive and now I have, and my testimony is that God is good in my life. This day, I fulfill God's assignment for my life. And this assignment causes me to exalt the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Never, never, never blaspheming his name before the unbelievers, because I boldly stand empowered, testifying of the awesomeness of God and seeing lives changed, transformed because of the glorious name of Jesus Christ, my Lord. I am blessed and highly favored. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Well, I don't think I see any new faces here this morning, but let me say, as we cut off from those who are on YouTube and Facebook, and say hello to this beloved saint.